Welcome back to the Gaming Tailgate Podcast. I am CDJ, joined by Tommy. JB is out on assignment. Tommy, a lot of news came out on Thursday. Were you able to keep up with all of it?
There was news this week?
There was so much news on Thursday. I joked with people yesterday. I had to go through and look through it twice to find everything. There's just so much news scattered, and we'll get through it all, hopefully, during the course of this show. To start off, we want to make sure people know about thegamingtailgate.com. Head to thegamingtailgate.com, and on the middle of the page, click on that EA Sports College Football Information Central. Everything we can find that's official out there and has game news and content, we're going to post it in one spot for everybody to find. A lot of the stuff we talk about tonight is on here already. We have all the EA socials. We have the teaser trailer. We've got the announced features and modes. There's probably more than a lot of people realize out there. We have all of our podcasts talking about the game, news, rumors, and speculation, and tons of media and community previews, including the articles and news we're going to bring up here during this show. So a lot of news came out on Thursday, so much that it seemed like not much had really time to breathe or stand out on its own. So hopefully we can get everybody up to date here, and hopefully there'll be something you missed that we can bring to light for everybody out there. The big one right off the bat, all 134 programs in the game, football bowl subdivision, teams in the game. Not a huge shock there. We knew there were a few holdouts as of November. That's been rectified. They're all in the game. Through the course of some ESPN articles, we have EA executives talking about some of the features coming to the game and what's guaranteed to be in the game. Social media also kind of confirmed some of these aspects we'll get to. The transfer portal and NIL, things I think we assumed would be in, especially the portal. NIL is the big one. Nobody really knows how that's going to be incorporated, how that will be brought into Dynasty or Road to Glory. Tommy, NIL, that's such a beast. It's one of those, how do you do that in a game?
I'm sure it has something to do with like the prestige of the school or something like that. Maybe there's a rating for, you know, certain schools of how much their schools are willing to pay, their alumni or whatever willing to pay out. So maybe it's something like that. And the only thing I would hope is as long as it's some sort of a budget system. I mean, again, who knows? But obviously, as a coach or as an athletic director, you're not supposed to be offering them a certain amount of money. But at the same time, I would hate for the game to have 85, $20 million players on one roster.
I wonder how they'll do that. I mean, it's for Road to Glory, I think it makes sense because you could say that the player gets offered these deals and maybe it affects team chemistry. Maybe it affects your time away from the team. Maybe it's an extracurricular activity. Dynasty mode is the trickier one because the schools and collectives, I feel like nobody's ever being really honest. Some of the schools say or collectives say we're over. We need your help. We need your donations. But I'm pretty sure they're doing pretty darn well. And some of the schools that say they're doing really well, I actually think they're kind of overinflating to get more people to want to join in with the winner. So I don't think that anybody's being honest about it, or at least the honest numbers aren't out there. I just don't know. And Dynasty is a trickier one. Maybe it just exists out in the ether. Maybe it gets mentioned. Yeah. Maybe it never really plays a role.
I imagine there will be like a player that says I'm transferring because NIL money at this other school or something like that. Right. And obviously, you know, mid-major programs, they'll go to P5s and, you know, FCS schools, you'll have transfers in from them to mid-majors and so forth. So I'm sure it'll mention it, but they won't say, hey, I'm going because they're giving me $2 million or whatever. Right. It's just more of, hey, they gave me an opportunity and I can't pass it up or something like that.
That's kind of how I envision as well. And anybody out there in the community, if you have a better idea than we've got, we would love to hear it in the comments and replies. All 10 conferences, that's been confirmed and known for quite a while. The ESPN article mentioned every bowl game and the Heisman Trophy. No word on the other awards. I got to feel confident the ones who are in 14 will probably be brought back unless something changed in terms of ownership or licensing. The College Football Playoff, again, that was confirmed. The Reese's Senior Bowl. This is an item that any other year, if this came out in February and was the only news item, it would be the biggest game news. This is a thing that's been relatively high among the community wishes for a long time. They wanted that aspect of when you get done with your dynasty, be able to play with the top players. They kind of wanted that for your export player to Madden. It seems like we might be getting that given the tweet that Reese's Senior Bowl put out. They mentioned both EA Sports College Football and Madden NFL, seeming kind of implying, and I'm going to go on a limb here and make a guess. We've speculated for a long time on this show that the game is going to have a big tie-in from Road to Glory to Superstar Mode and Madden because EA Sports is going to want people to buy both titles, not just pick up one and not the other. So if you have a great tie-in, and perhaps Reese's Senior Bowl is part of that. That's my guess, but it makes me wonder if they mention both games, would you play it in both games or just play it in one? That's the part I can't grasp my mind on. They mention both games in their tweet. Where will they exactly be?
And it may I mean, obviously they haven't said you're going to be playing the Senior Bowl. It may just be a reference that, hey,
That's
you've earned a
true.
right to go to the Senior Bowl, or hey, you have three players on your team that are going to the Senior Bowl or something like that. To me, I've never really seen the value of playing the Senior Bowl. Yeah, it'd be neat, but at the same time, it's a scrimmage game that is just meant to show off your players. So it's, for me, it's just more of an honor being invited, and that gives you a little boost up in being getting some recognition or something like that.
I think in terms of if it's in Dynasty, which we don't know, like I said, we don't know where it's going to be at. But speculating, if it's in Dynasty, I can see the appeal maybe to play with all the top upperclassmen players or all the draft eligible players. In Road to Glory, maybe it's a real game. I'm sure minus injuries, and we're getting maybe a performance there can boost your draft stock. So I can kind of see the appeal for both. But again, the tweet was vague enough to not know how it's going to be in there, but strongly worded enough to know that it's going to be a. At least somewhat significant, I would say maybe not the biggest dynasty feature, but definitely something of importance between the two titles.
As I say, I think the Road to Glory aspect is probably the easy one. Yeah, you earned it, and now you get to go play your Road to Go Glory player in it, kind of thing.
And of course, Dynasty and Road to Glory, again mentioned in the articles that came out on Thursday. We've known those two features are going to be in the game. They were confirmed back in November of 22. I think it's interesting. I think we all feel Ultimate Team is going to be in the game, but we have yet to actually get 100% confirmation on that, but we do know Dynasty and Road to Glory, and those are the big things that people keep talking about. I think it's worth noting that we have gotten more questions in the last 72 hours asking us, is online Dynasty in the game? It's one of those, I hate to ever say anything, I don't know. We are hashtag no sources here, but I would have to think so. But at the same time, EA has not used those two words together yet.
Yeah, like you, I cannot imagine the game launching without it. It's been, to me, from at least personally, that's the most popular
It's the
feature of the
feature.
game. Yeah, exactly. To me, that was always the reason to buy the game, play with your friends online, and to me, that's the reason. And obviously, in my opinion, it outshines Madden online franchise.
By far.
So, yeah, bring that back and let it be kind of the anchor of the game to kind of draw people in.
Yeah, so that'll be the big one. They finally confirm that because everybody's going to want to know how many users can we get in. We're going to what did it go up from NCAA 14 or we at the same where are we at? So still lots of information to come on the game that we just don't know quite yet. A couple of I don't want to say negative items, but people ask these and they want to know no real coaches in year one. I don't think that's a huge shock. With everything else EA had to tackle with year one of EA Sports College Football, I think this is understandable. We technically never had real coaches in the past. So one more year without isn't really going to bother us. It probably comes down to if there's still a carousel in the game. That's one of those, again, we don't know if it's in or out. We
To
hope it's
me, I
in,
think it,
but it's important. The coaches are important, but obviously we don't know.
yeah, for sure. No, I agree. It's important if they could ever get those in, and actually represent their personality in some way. But to me, it comes down to licensing the coaches is going to be a lot more difficult. Yeah, $600 in a copy of the game is fine for a college kid, but when somebody's making, $10 million a year, what's it going to cost to get their name, image, and likeness in the game? So it may happen eventually. Obviously not happening the first year, but it who knows what comes down the road. If so, I imagine they have some kind of a tie-in that says, be the coach or whatever, and they bring in all these licensed coaches and you kind of are competing against them or something. So
And this is a fear of mine, and I don't know if there's any basis for it. But my fear is that if real coaches ever do get licensed, which I think will happen based on the ESPN article and quotes from Sean O'Brien, it seems like the EA knows people want real coaches, and real coaches, some of them want in the game. My fear is if they get in there, they're not going to, especially the coaches who are on the hot seat in real life, are not going to want a system in the game where there's a hot seat and they get fired, right? And that gets on social media right away with players saying, "Hey, coach, I just played the game, and you get fired every time in year one of Dynasty, no matter what happens." That scares me a little bit. Maybe coaches aren't tied in enough to know or care about that. But as a fan, I think about that kind of stuff, and I think I don't know. I want real coaches in, but I do admit there's a little bit of a fear factor if that ever would happen.
I mean, clearly they do it in Madden, so I mean, I can't imagine that's that big of a
But
stretch, but
they don't have a carousel like NCAA football. I don't think they have a firing, do they?
oh, I don't
I
know.
was under the
Honestly,
impression they stay there forever, basically.
oh yeah. Honestly, I've never played far enough down the road to really pay much attention to that. Like to me, like I've always said, the Madden is kind of all disconnected. It's hard to stay
Right.
connected with the rest of the world in the game. But
I could be wrong on that. I mean, anybody who plays Madden to let us know, but I think once the coach that's there in year one is the last year of your franchise as well. people keep asking, we've had all those social media teases about FCS teams. And the quote that I don't know that I've seen that directly from EA, but other people saying they've heard from EA, no FCS teams at launch. If they're not going to be in the game ever, wouldn't you think EA would just rip the Band-Aid off and say, hey, we've had enough to tackle in year one? Do you think there's something to all these teases? I go back and forth on it. I don't even know what to think at this point. I don't know that I expect real FCS teams ever to be in, but we keep hearing that none at launch. And I don't know why, like I said, why can't we get confirmation on this now just to calm those fans?
My guess in that wording is some kind of DLC to where you can download an entire FCS conference all at once and you can download them. Again, you're not going to be able to play them in an FCS conf or in an FCS league or excuse me, FCS franchise or anything like that. But at the same time, you can, import them into your existing online dynasty or something like that. Again, that's 100% a guess. But to me, that's some way for them to kind of have a little extra down the road that they can add in and also by people buying it, that gives them incentive to actually develop those teams, that kind of thing. So.
And EA likes to do the big updates throughout the year in their titles. A lot of times it's centered around Ultimate Team, but sometimes they like to add new content in. It's not just EA, but other video game companies as well. They'll add in. So who's to say that one of the mid-year updates isn't a handful of FCS teams, just to keep it fresh? If they can be played in Dynasty, whether it be played against or sub-admin, who knows? But maybe that is something down the line they'll add in later on as a kind of a hype thing, because that would get a lot of hype if they had those even just a handful of teams in mid-year.
Yeah, and I agree. The only thing to think about that is that either A, they won't be able to have real players there, or B, it'll get leaked because the FCS players get this invite to sign up for NIL or something like that in July or something.
That's
Who
true
knows?
that they would not give that. Just like we had on Thursday when that contract started going out, they were on social media. I know I saw at 6 in the morning, somebody had already found the punter for UTEP. So that cat was out of the bag pretty early and quickly. The one thing with FCS teams, and it's a kind of a theory I've had with the portal, you got to expect at least in the database, players from those schools, now fake players, mind you, but players from those schools will show up in the portal and they'll have to have some FCS teams there. Just because one, that happens in real life. A lot of FCS players move up. Minnesota just got a FCS transfer coming in the portal. He's probably gonna be their starter next year. And I would think you'd want those players because then you could have a lot of potential. They're boom or bust. Whereas when you have the FBS players, you're generally gonna know their ratings. So you kind of know what you're getting. So this would give you kind of a surprise factor. Maybe some of these guys come in and can be mega producers, and other guys maybe come in and I don't want to say be bust, but not the producers that you expect them to be.
I think you could do that without actually naming the team they came from, but yeah, I mean that would also make sense to be able to have the team, the actual team they came from, and say, oh, you're in North Carolina, so we're gonna have one of the North Carolina FCS schools transfer players transfer up because you're nearby or something like that.
A big one on Thursday. Throughout the day, we were getting tweets from ESPN talents. Does it confirm ESPN integration? That's one thing we did not get. The names of the ESPN talent and a former ESPN talent, Rhys Davis, Kirk Herbstreit, Chris Fowler, Jesse Palmer, Desmond Howard, Kevin Connors, and David Pollack. David Pollack was let go by ESPN a few months ago, I believe. However, he is still confirmed for the title. You can kind of almost do the math here and figure out who does what. You guys think you get Kirk and Chris will be your play-by-play guys, Kevin Connors and maybe Jesse Palmer are your studio guys, and that leaves, Rhys, Desmond, and David. Are they your
And
pregame
Kirk as
show?
well.
And Kirk again, of course. Is it a pregame show? Is it a postgame show? Is it college game day? It's weird. We got a lot of partners who announced their involvement on Thursday with tweets. We mentioned Reese's earlier. Even Xbox had a tweet talking about how the game was up available, and we'll talk about that later. A lot of partners with tweets there. We didn't get an official one though from ESPN.
To
Do you
me,
have any?
that's a bigger unveiling to say that, hey, we've got like licensed ESPN in the game. And it's probably that's more going to come out around May to say that, yes, we have it. And here's how it's going to be represented in the game, in College Game Day or whatever format it's going to be in.
On Friday, Chris Fowler, I believe the Hayes Fawcett was the first one who had this. He was the one at least on Twitter. An in-home video, Chris Fowler showing off his in-home recording setup that he has with EA Sports, and he talks about it a little bit. Let's just play this clip here. Tommy, you said you've not seen it, so we're going to be able to get your live reaction here. Here we go.
For sure, yeah.
Finally, I can tell you about what's been going on behind closed doors here in the smallest room in the house for about 2 years. Voiceover sessions for EA Sports CFB 25. Microphone, digital recorder, laptop, where they have Zoom calls where guys from EA are engineering and directing these sessions. It has been fun. It's been taxing sometimes, monotonous at other times, because everything you could possibly see in a football game, even the mundane plays, I've said into that microphone many, many different ways. Bunch of stuff you'd never see in a real game. I've described. You want to punt on second down? Try a 71-yard field goal. That's in the game too, along with the appropriate analysis of those decisions. Your quarterback throws five picks in the first quarter or five touchdowns? We got you covered there too in detail. People have asked, when my team scores a touchdown, will there be appropriate excitement like a real game? Hell yes. EA insists on realism. I sat here in an hour and said, touchdown, Alabama! All the way down to touchdown, Wyoming! Along with the version for the team nicknames. It was like a month of touchdown calls in an hour. I needed the tea for the voice. Kirk and I have had joint sessions playing off each other like we would in a real booth. There's going to be incredible detail. What I've seen of the game will blow people away, and really excited for you to see it. Probably can't answer most of your questions about the game, but I know it's going to be great. Can't wait.
Okay, Tommy, live reaction.
Everything sounds great that he's talking about. I mean, I will say, obviously, they've had tons of recording lines and everything like that in past games. That's not anything new. But this now with an expanded, you know, disk drive that they can store files on, and obviously the downloads from digital sales get huge. So I mean, there they can kind of blow that up a little bit. And then as well, by having a home recording studio, they can record at any time throughout the year for an hour at a time, or for, you know, 8 hours a day or whatever they decide to do. So it's not like, I'm guessing in the past, I've never known this for sure, but I've always assumed that in the past, they bring them into Florida, into the studio for like 2 or 3 days, and they record everything they want to do over those few days. You know, maybe they bring them back a little bit later because, oh, we forgot about this line. But in general, you know, this is going to be allow them to kind of come back, and who knows, maybe they even decide, hey, we need to add some new lines because of this big event that happened, you know, in the game or in real life or something like that. So it's interesting, and definitely it's exciting to see, but I kind of have to wait and see how it actually translates into the game.
I think it's noteworthy he let it slip. He's been doing it for 2 years. A lot of times in commentary, the year one is kind of thin and year two, it gets fleshed out. Well, he's been then doing it for 2 years. So I think that's a good sign and encouraging sign that hopefully the commentary won't get too repetitive or stale right off the bat in the game. I think that's a very positive sign that small detail they kind of let out there.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
So a lot of people have asked us, and we had some comments from Taylor Malone asking, so what does this mean for Fox? Now, I think there's two ways you can look at it. Likely out. When you have seven ESPN personalities, it's going to be tough to fit more in from another network. I suppose if you wanted to remain optimistic, you could say that Fox is not going to announce their involvement the same day that ESPN talents do. So there's two ways to look at it, but I would lean towards they're probably out at this rate. But again, we can't rule anything out completely at this stage.
But at the same time, it is going to be difficult to have seven personalities from ESPN and four or five personalities from Fox or whatever they decide to do. You know, it gets expensive. And as we just saw from Fowler, that it takes a lot of effort to record all those. So not only do you have Fowler recording lines, but like he said, you've got directors and producers that are also on the call. So, you know, they can't commit time to doing both ESPN talent and Fox talent and so on and so forth. It becomes a lot of effort to do that. Now, maybe down the road, a couple of years, they want to do kind of a refresh or something like that. So they add in a second one. They've got all these lines from Herb Street and Fowler. So all they have to do is just little small updates to ESPN. But then for Fox, they do it big 1 year or something like that.
One of the ESPN articles talked about the game, and I believe it was Daryl Holt who mentioned that the game, what they're trying to do with playbooks and playbook styles and getting the teams unique, is 134 ways to play the game. Well, that should harken back to a lot of people back to NCAA Football 14 when it was 120 ways to play. And that was the goal back then, was to get every team a little different, get teams to be realistic, play like their real-life counterparts. So when you're playing Tennessee, it feels like Tennessee. When you're playing Colorado, it feels like Colorado, and so on. One quote that got out there that I'm surprised didn't get more coverage. Again, there was so much news on Thursday. I can see how this kind of slipped through the cracks. He said that the plan is to show that wide open aspect of explosive gameplay in college football. It seems like some of the best versions of NCAA football were when in the back of the box talked about wide open gameplay. Now, granted, that means the defense usually had some issues, but it seems like those games were always the most considered the most fun, like 04, 09, both considered wide open gameplay years. And those were two of the most popular years of the NCAA football with fans.
For sure, yeah. You always want those big breakaway plays, and you know, some years it was extremely hard to get those. I remember 08 was everybody was complaining at launch; it was impossible to run the ball or whatever. You know, you want to be able to have those big breakaway plays, whether you're passing the ball, running the ball, returning a kickoff or whatever. So you've got to be able to kind of have those in the game, but also the struggle is to make it balanced to where it's not just running it back every play or something.
Especially if somebody knows the right defense to call. If you know the right defense and have the right personnel, make sure the defense can show up. But I understand that the casual person, they don't want to go out and have a lot of 3-0 games. They want to have more like 28-27 games.
Yeah, for sure.
We're going to call this halftime real quick, and I'm going to give a couple quick shout outs. A shout out to Master Football with Jake Posey. He's on YouTube and Twitter. On one of his YouTube videos, he used our thread of teaser trailer images and he used it to break down and give his commentary on the game. So we want to thank him. He gave us a big shout out on there. So I want to give him one in return. And also want to Oni Kuno, Sean Forster. I was on his show Thursday night talking about all the news that came out. Pretty fun show. He's a guy who's been in the community a long time. I think he might be a day one tailgater. So I got to give him a little bit of credit for that as well. He's a guy that, I mean, you could sub his voice for anybody in terms of a long-term fan. He knows all the years of the game. You know, he has his own wish list, like all of us do. So it was really a fun show. I recommend go on YouTube, find those two guys, find Master Football with Jake Posey, and find Oni Kuno, Oni Kuno. Sean Forster does a great job talking Oklahoma football and college football and the game in general as well. Now, 20 years ago, we thought this day would never come where players were getting money to be in the game. And 5 years ago, we thought this day would never arrive. We wondered if the game would ever come back. Well, Thursday was that day. I think the word historic gets thrown around a little bit too much, but this was a pretty big day. I mean, like I said, we never thought this would happen, but here we are. Players started getting the contracts to appear in the game. This is more on the business side of it, but I think a lot of the fans in the community will find this interesting as well. The player contracts started to go out to the players through, I believe, the Compass app with One Team Partners. This is one of them I think kind of slipped under the radar, especially for the longtime community guys and dynasty guys like we are. It came out, I believe Matt Brown was the first one to mention it. There were a couple other outlets, but like I said, I think it got buried. And EA Sports is looking to sign the 85 scholarship players per program, which I think you can in turn. I feel confident kind of flipping around and viewing it the other way. That means we're going to have 85-man rosters in the game potentially. And that's something we've always wanted, more players in the game, more players on our roster. And it looks like we're going to get it here.
I've long been an advocate for 85 players on a team. I know that, EA has kind of given us the, comments in the past that it's difficult because of managing the memory and limitations on the old consoles, things like that. So surely by now with A, redoing the game, but then B, on these modern consoles, it's got to be done. To me, that's the way to build your program and be able to redshirt those young guys and then, let them grow throughout the program. Obviously, you risk them transferring out after the first year or something like that, but still, it's to me, that's the way you have to do it, is to be able to get a full roster and be able to see them all come into the game.
And you're going to need those 85 players if half of them transfer out. I mean, if we got to get the portal realistic here, you're going to have a deep roster. One of those things that I think also means hopefully there's going to be an option to, a little better injury system, because you're going to want to be able to have to go down to your second and third teamers in Dynasty. But I understand I'm playing out and may not wanting it that way, but I think for Dynasty guys, hopefully that's an option. I would also say,
Injury and fatigue. To me, fatigue not only in the game, but also throughout the season.
I agree completely. And one of those things we had mentioned on a couple of shows back in our prediction show, I think I threw out there that there's going to be something technology-wise that they're going to put in the game that they couldn't do before. It's still the idea of what that actually is hasn't hit me yet, but maybe it's this. Maybe it's having the deeper rosters. Maybe it's having real players in the game. Maybe those are the big things they could not do before that will be the big features in EA Sports College Football. And going after 11,000 players, that's around the number that they're trying to sign here to get into the game. That's a pretty big deal and pretty historic.
Yeah, for sure. I know they've been, EA has kind of suggested it, but I know Matt Brown's kind of mentioned it, that it's just the number of athletes alone is obviously a record. But just to me, it's the fact that this is the first one, as far as I'm aware, that encompasses all schools. I mean, yeah, we've had some that may be programs that would encompass a few schools, but it's not all the players on the team. This one is every single FBS player is that has a scholarship, basically, is entitled to this NIL option. To me, that's the bigger deal. And the fact that they had 5,000 sign up in the first day, I mean, just getting 20-year-old kids to do anything in the first day is an achievement. So just the fact that that shows the interest in the game. It shows how much they just are interested in being in the game.
Course, you got to think it's free money with just basically the push of a button on an app. I mean, what college kid wouldn't roll over at 6 in the morning to go do that? I can see where the UTEP punter was more than excited to go do that. And you mentioned that they're aiming to get 85 scholarship players for every program. It's worth noting they believe that they can get the Service Academy players as well. They just will not be able to give them the money or the game. They'll find some other way to reward them. What that is, I don't know, but that's one of the quotes we saw out there, that they do think they can get the Service Academy players. Before that was kind of up in the air.
Maybe it's like a donation to the school itself for like equipment or something like that, like the equivalent of what it would have been for the players or something. So that's the only thing I could have thought of. But then again, the players still have to opt in. You know, they still have to give their likeness away. They just aren't profiting off of it directly. So yeah, I'd be interested to see how all that works out. The other thing is I've been hearing, at least from reading articles and hearing a few different videos, that again, they're focused on kind of the scholarship players, the 85 scholarship players, but a lot of times punters and kickers come on the first couple of years and are without a scholarship. So does that mean that they're in theory left out of the game, or how's that going to look? So I'll be curious how that all works out. So if you've got a freshman or sophomore kicker that's on your team and starting, but he doesn't have a scholarship, how is EA going to handle that one?
That's one thing Matt Brown's kind of alluded to, and whether he's heard from EA directly or just is hoping, but believes that those players will get added. As if they're a key contributor, they'll come in at some point. And we know that EA, they came out, a year or two ago now, an article talking about they were going to have the technology in the game to update throughout the year. Well, those are called roster updates. We've had that in every other sports title. That wasn't a big news, but that was a story that came out about a year or two ago, and I don't remember the publication. I would think they would have those players in. It's going to be really interesting to see how they do this.
Especially, yeah, how are they going to turn around and offer it mid-season or something like that? You know, they'll have to send them the contract mid-season or something like that. The other thing is, I've heard deadline of like end of April to be able to
April
sign up in
30th is the
this.
loose deadline.
Yeah, so to be able to sign up in this first round. So you have to wonder, after July, are they going to let people opt in again to say, hey, I missed the boat now, but I want in now, or in October or something like that?
I'm sure they would, but again, it's going to be interesting how this all plays out, especially in year one, because it's new to EA at this point, not to mention us, but especially to EA. Kind of the standard contract, and this is probably what everybody who's listening to us or watching us has heard, that players are going to get $600 and a copy of the game. So, approximate retail value is $670 to $700, because you got to think there's going to be an Ultimate Team Edition for $100. And I'm sure that's what they'll give the players. So, you guys assume about $700 value they're going to get for, at least for the standard contract and the base players. Several articles have said nothing is expected of the athlete. They don't have to make any tweets. They don't have to make any appearances. They don't have to sign any autographs. It is sign on the app, do whatever they do on the app, whether it's sign it or just push a button and agree to the terms. That's it. They get $600 and they'll get a digital copy of the game in July or whenever the release date is. That's a pretty good gig. There was some pushback, and I'm sure you saw it, Tommy. Pro Football Talk on Twitter, Front Office Sports had an article was kind of critical of that amount, thinking it was too low. We've talked about this before when it was rumored to be $500. When you have 11,000 players, EA spending millions and millions of dollars. The loose number I had heard is about $6.6 million. But then if you factor in when we get to the next part of this, some athletes are getting more to promote the game, especially when you get to the cover athlete. You got to think that number is going to be closer to 7 to 8 million before it's all said and done.
Yeah, and like you said, I'm guessing that 6.6 doesn't count the cost of the game itself. So I mean, if you consider, obviously EA, a digital copy is quote unquote cheap to them, but at the same time, if you factor that in, then that's another big chunk of change as well. So yeah, I'd be curious to see how all of that works out. I did see some of the articles saying that it seems to be lowballing them. For me, if you're an athlete and that's how you feel, I encourage you to not sign the contract. I mean, again, it's all up to the players, but at the end of the day, to me, the biggest thing is for the lesser known athletes to get this. To me, they're just going to sign right away. It's the large school athletes that may be more hesitant and say, "Hey, I want more for this," or whatever. But again, like you said, they don't have to do anything. They're going to have their photo, their name, where they came from, their height and weight, and that's about it, that kind of thing. So it's up to each player definitely to decide. I couldn't say what's right or what's wrong, but to me, if I were, unless I'm some Heisman candidate athlete, I would be signing, as quick as I could.
And those players might be getting bigger contracts from the get-go anyway. I don't think it does not appear that EA is lowballing those guys. Granted, we don't know the exact details. Select athletes are going to get more than the $600. On3 had put out a list of some of the players, and I'm sure you guys have probably seen it on social media. On social media, generally the player has a bigger graphic with their name, says they're in the game. I believe it says hashtag EA athlete. You guys like Travis Hunter, Quinn Ewers. Basically, it seems like they're picking one to two players from a lot of bigger programs. It's believed about 100 of those players have been identified by EA. They're going to try to get them to a bigger deal. Christy Daw, she is, I believe, at Sports Biz Miss on Twitter. She had an article out today that she got her hands on one of the contracts, I believe, for the base contracts, the standard contract, and looked at it and read some of the details. It include also includes beyond their image and their name, image, and likeness. Includes slogans, logos, actions, gestures, movements, and celebrations, which I think it's one something that makes a lot of sense. We probably didn't think about that. But then obviously if somebody has a trademark celebration or a trademark walk or a logo or a slogan, they could that now can also be in the game with them. So if somebody has a nickname, it sounds like that can be in the game. If they have a custom celebration move or something they're known for, EA can put that in with them versus having to go back later or pay extra for it, which doesn't make sense fiscally or just time-wise for them to do that. So I think that makes a lot of sense. That's in the game.
I will say for logos, if they're talking about like custom player logos, to me, that also falls to the players own the rights themselves. I mean, the logo creator may own the rights, or if it Nike created the logo or something like that, it's
Or
that's
the
going to be
school.
kind of a, yeah, exactly. That's going to be kind of a, a little bit of a delicate balance. But to me, I think that's more than anything just to kind of cover them. It's not like, I
Yeah,
mean,
it's
again,
cover
I may
bases.
be, yeah, I may be underselling it or however you want to say it, but at the same time, I don't think EA is going to go out and just slap their logo all over the splash screen of the game, but rather it's going to be more that if it appears in the game, or if we accidentally have a recording of what your celebration looks like, we're not, we're covered basically.
Yep.
So
I believe there's also fine print that the if you opt in, you cannot join like a class action lawsuit. Basically, protects them from another, Ed O'Bannon situation, which I completely understand and get legally. They won't be able to get to work and not worry about these off the field issues like they've had to deal with for basically a decade. On3 had said there's about 100 players that EA is reportedly targeting, and as of Thursday, On3 had a list, and I believe about 30 players. And so far, it seems like it was about one to two players per big program, generally identify a program or big player. It seemed like it was one offensive, one defensive so far. I haven't yet to see it where it was stacked, where two offense or two defense. And I have to be honest, when I talked to Sean last night when I was on his show, the idea kind of crossed my mind that with all these athletes with the bigger deal, are we potentially at some point going to get a cover athlete vote? I think maybe that timing-wise, I think the ship might have sailed. But when they start sending these players to bigger deals, it makes you wonder what other ways they might use them.
yeah, for sure. I mean, definitely, marketing, they'll ask them to publish some tweets. Maybe they have them record a video at the school using the school equipment and then send it to EA, and EA put it in the game for like, "Hey, I'm in the game," that kind of thing. Like the old used to
The
be
opening videos.
the campus videos or whatever. Yeah,
Yeah.
something like that,
That would be a
it could
cool
be.
addition.
Yeah, something like that. I mean, it's that's the thing is that they can do a lot more with it now than what they've done in the past, and not only in terms of now NIL, but just technology and all sorts of things that they can, kind of leverage that a lot more now, if depending upon what they want to do with those players.
EA is also including other athletes in the promotion, basically meaning like other college athletes, not necessarily in football. They're going to give them some contracts to go promote it as well. Well, the On3 article had mentioned Jordy Ball. She's a softball player at Nebraska, formerly at Oklahoma, transferred in. A very successful Oklahoma, won two national titles. I have yet to see her talk about the game. I believe they mentioned Samari Sanders out at Colorado, women's basketball player. I have not seen anything that she's put out on social media yet, but apparently they're lining up these other athletes. I did hear a Florida gymnast had put out something, but I personally have not seen it. But I think it's interesting that they're trying to bring the whole kind of the whole campus on board. We know that a lot of schools, football kind of drives the boat. That's the money maker. That's what brings the eyes to the campus. That I think it's a nice look for EA to bring in these other athletes.
For sure. And I'm sure at least part of that maybe kind of comes from Title IX. I don't know. I don't know all the restrictions, but at the same time, it regardless, it's nice that they're bringing them in. They probably didn't have to do anything with that, but at the
No.
same time, they're star athletes at their school regardless. So, get them in, let them promote the game and say, hey, go buy the game, next month or whatever it is.
Came on the ESPN article that there's no face scans in year one, which I think from day one we've been pretty leery of. Don't expect many scans because we didn't know how logistically that would work. Well, they came out and basically have said, don't expect any face scans in year one. So that to me, that goes back to a point we've talked about on previous shows. Wish good luck to whoever has to come up with the making these faces in the game or however they present these faces, because historically EA has not done great with player faces matching up. And when you have 11,000 plus players now that you have to try to get realistic representation of in the game, whether it be menus or just their faces in the helmets, we don't know how it'll be portrayed. Good luck. They are going to, and
Yeah.
respectfully, I say that they are going to need a lot of luck. And hopefully, the technology is there to help them make it a little easier and more realistic.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it may be that they, face scan people in the office. Maybe they do that and then kind of just tweak them a little bit. The thing I always hated is that in the old game, there was only, what, 40 or 50 different total heads or whatever.
If
So,
that, yeah.
exactly. Yeah. So, I mean, you have the same player on your team multiple times, kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, that's one thing I hope that they really expand upon. Obviously, I'm not expecting 11,000 different heads, but at the
No.
same time, give us something more to work with and be able to look a little bit closer to what the player should look like.
And a lot of it is they get the right, they get enough skin colors and enough facial hair and hairstyles, that would help immensely. Because you're
For
not going to see a
sure,
ton
yeah.
of their faces, and you don't know, we don't know how they're going to do on the menus. Maybe they'll import in their portrait photos from the website. Maybe we won't have the, what they had on the menus before, because those were the ones that really looked rough. Those look like
Yeah.
JB Logis likes to joke they look like 40, 40-year-old farm boys out there because they're kind of bigger,
For
puffy cheeks. They didn't look like college kids. So if they bring
sure.
in the real life college portraits, that would be a huge help. But obviously, for on the field players, they're going to need a lot of variety, more than they've had in
Yeah,
the
and
past.
I'd be curious how the college portraits, I guess they would have to license those from the school as well. I mean, not only the athlete has to sign in because but the college owns the portrait itself, I'm sure. So, you have to somehow coordinate all of that stuff too.
So good luck to EA Logistics.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's going to be brand new for everyone. So obviously they're going through the same kind of points as well. It's something that they've kind of got to adjust on the fly a little bit. And hey, we didn't think about this sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out.
And for any players who do opt out, I thought it was interesting they did mention how they would be handled. First up, there'll be a generic player that cannot be edited and cannot be created anywhere else in the game. And for those players who opt out, they're going to give them ratings, according to the article, average of that position for the last decade, which makes sense. So that way, at least if, let's just say, a Army running back opts out, the generic player is probably going to be a solid running back. I would hypothesize that they will make sure that, yeah, it's close, but they would be lower than the real player would be rated, because you would it would backfire if they had a generic player who is better than the real player, and the real player decides later on to want in the game, and then his ratings go down, because they're going to
Yeah.
know if they're the starting running back at a school, and let's say that the guy is 92 in the game, opts in, and then drops to an 85 when it's the real player. He's gonna say, "Well, I should have stayed out. I shouldn't have. You made me worse." I'm hypothesizing that any opt out, they will make sure that they are rated lower than they would be in real life to encourage them to opt in. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe that's too advanced, but that's my quick thought on how they're gonna handle those ratings. But it is nice that they will match team style at least.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I imagine probably at least some of what it is that like if you've got a speedster running back, he's not a speedster in the game. He's a bruising running back or something like that. Again, maybe it's the same overall. It's just different style of play or something like that. Like you said, that'll be interesting to see as well. That how do they handle those situations?
And as you mentioned earlier, John Riegsberg tweeted out Thursday evening, over 5,000 players had already signed up on the first day, and that was not even 24 hours. I'm not even sure we were at 18 hours by that point when he tweeted that out. So 5,000 plus out of 11,000. He said over 130 schools had already responded. Oni Kuno had posted or shared that he had heard on a Detroit radio station that supposedly all of Michigan State had signed up. I know on Twitter on Thursday, there was so much information coming through. I wasn't able to verify, but it was not Michigan State, but I saw somebody claim that another school, their report said basically all the players had signed up. Now we'll
I
never
mean,
know if that's true or not true, but that I would not shock me, but that's pretty impressive.
I'm sure by the end of it, some of the schools will have all of their players, but to have that in the first 24 hours, 48 hours, to me that's a little surprising. But you never know. I mean, maybe they had a team meeting and said, "Hey, this just came out this today. Are you guys going to sign up? Let's talk about it," and that kind of thing. So maybe, yeah, they did kind of sit around and say, "Yeah, let's all do it together," or whatever.
You can create your own player. And this was an ESPN article. Make your own player, but not an opted out player. They wouldn't not share the details on how they're preventing that. That's one of those that we can hypothesize and think about it. But let's say John Doe from somewhere does not go in the game. Does that mean all John Does cannot make themselves for that same school? It's going to be interesting to see how the what kind of filters they have, because apparently they're going to do something to prevent that player to getting in the game of any way possible.
Yeah, and imagine if you've got the same name of some other athlete that opted out, you cannot put yourself in Road to Glory. I mean, it's one of those things that it'll be very interesting to see. Obviously, you're still going to have people that says, "Oh no, my name is Tebow too, so I've got to be in the game," that kind of thing. But at the same time, yeah, it's a delicate balance. You can't go and create John Doe for Army, but John Doe had opted out, so I totally get that.
It makes you wonder if maybe there's deeper filters. Like maybe the name is allowed, but all of a sudden, if your name and height and weight happen to be
And
within certain
number,
parameters and
and
numbers, certain parameters,
or
there's a.
for the same school or whatever it may be. Yeah.
Could you argue, and I'm not a lawyer, and this is just more of a joke than a serious statement, could you argue if that's how the filter works, that player is actually in the game? Because if they are able to restrict that guy from going in, there's something on the back end that seems to know that player. I doubt it because you're not seeing that through
Yeah,
a
no,
presentation, but
to
it is
me.
funny to know that if that's how they do it, which you start going down this road, we can kind of halfway figure how it works, but it'd be interesting to see the final version. And if there's somebody who matches up with a real opted out player, if they come to the forums or go on social media and say, "I can't make myself," it's going to be interesting to see how that works.
I mean, to your, lawyer question, no. I mean, to me, that is just a protection for EA and for the player. So yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. The EA knows that that player exists. So to me, at that point, it's not a, an infringement, I guess.
Until the first user sues them. But it is
Yeah,
interesting.
exactly.
One of their quotes in that article was that user-generated content is a priority. Now, the ESPN article, there was one or two sentences that I wish they would elaborate on or wrote a little clearer. It talks about, we know that conference realignment, we know the sport has been changing constantly. And then it goes into, yes, user-generated content is a priority, but it never says what aspect is. What can we do? Does it mean custom conferences? I mean, that is mentioned by ESPN, but it's not in quotes from Holt. So we don't know. What are you talking about? What was the transition? What was the conversation? What was the question? We don't know. And that's the big one we get from a lot of people. We've had people asking on our Twitter feed, conferences were not like this 20, they were not like this back in NCAA Football 14. Can we
I
get
don't
20 teams
remember.
in? I don't know. I don't know if we
Yeah,
can
as
or
I say,
can't.
I don't remember where I saw it, but I did see somebody saying, yes, custom conferences are in, and that they know that the landscape has changed so much that they've got to kind of match it. So to me, yeah, I think A, custom conferences, B, can you remove conferences, and C, can you have a 32 team conference that's eventually going to happen anyways?
And plus the changing playoff. The EA is going to build a 12-team playoff, and by the time they publish this game, we might have in 2 years already concrete that's going to be 14 teams. So
Yeah,
I,
yeah.
it's a nightmare for them, the way the landscape has been constantly changing as they've been developing this game over the last 3 to 5 years.
Yeah, to me though, the user-generated content, there's some low-hanging fruit there. Custom conferences, like you said, create your own coach, create your own player, custom playbooks. To me, all of that is user-generated content. But then as well, did they go so far as to have create a team? Those kind of things. So it'll be interesting to see, how far they go with that, and what does it truly mean?
Even an editable top 25, something we've never had. That I know the guys who edited rosters, which does not, I think it's safe to say editable rosters are probably not in. If you can't be making players, then what's the point of editable rosters? But maybe they'll let us edit the ratings of players who've opted in. I can see both sides of that argument as well. It's gonna be interesting to see what the final version is. Like you said, there's so many small things that technically are user-generated content. We want to think of the bigger items like team builder and custom conferences. But it could be something you said as simple as, well, we let you make yourself in Road to Glory. That's user-generated content.
Yeah, you can take that a number of different ways. But yeah, I'd be curious, can you do, like you said, shareable rosters? but maybe you can edit ratings, but you cannot edit height, weight, number,
Or the
you
name.
know, for the out of the box rosters, yeah, or the name or anything like that. So, you know, that'll be interesting. But at the same time, I don't know. Does Madden have custom rosters at all? I know that they
Yes, I
do.
believe
They
so. And
do.
I believe you have
Okay.
the Creation Center. I believe you can share those as well. But
Gotcha. Okay.
they've never had the lawsuit, so they're okay.
Well, and it's more a matter of, you know, EA also wants to be able to control the you know, the release of the rosters themselves. So, I mean, it'll
Right.
be interesting to see if they allow that or not.
Also on Thursday, the game appeared on PlayStation Network and Xbox Live. Players could add it to their wish list. I generally don't track when games show up to me. This seems a little early, especially we haven't technically had that big full press release announcing the game. That's one of those things that we have not had that yet. And maybe not a lot of people in the audience know what that is, but a lot of times there'll be a press release that goes out, like say on EA on their news site or investor relations site, that kind of a press release saying today EA Sports announces EA Sports College Football will be released on X date, available on these consoles. It'll have some quotes saying this game will represent the pageantry and passion of college football in a way we've never seen before, returning after a decade away, you know, blah, blah, blah. The game was developed at EA Tiburon. We technically have not had that. So we have not had the official announcement. We've had everything but at this rate. So I'm kind of surprised the game was out this early on that. But then again, I don't generally know when those games come out. I always assumed it did when the official announcement came out, but maybe I'm wrong on that.
No, I mean, I agree. I mean, some games, yes, maybe they come out this long, but 5 months is to me very early. To me, you know, 3 months would be probably in the right time frame. But obviously that I would assume that they want to kind of cash in on some of this attention that they've grabbed this week and get people to wish list it right away and things like that. Just to at least say, hey, yeah, we've got, you know, 1 million people that have wish listed it on Xbox or whatever it is.
You can
So
help engage demand a little bit. Like you said, then if it's on their wish list, at least I know on PlayStation, you'll get those alerts on your app saying, oh, this game you was on your wish list is now available for purchase. Or later on through the year, it'll say, oh, now it's available on sale. So I think it's one of
yeah.
those that at least now it kind of gets them not completely on the hook, but it starts to get people closer. And the Xbox users, and I didn't know this was a thing, they were able to, I don't know if it's down, I don't think it's a download because the game's not out there, but they were able to do that and get kind of a placeholder that showed up on their screen. And I'm sure people have seen that on social media. I know there was some speculation, like what's going on here with this, because the logo was outdated. It was the one we saw, you know, from 2 years ago when they put the logo out, and then the backdrop was Georgia's Sanford Stadium. So I know I wondered, well, is that a nod to the cover athlete? I doubt it. I think it's all just a placeholder. But it is interesting because I'm sure EA, they manicure that stuff. They know everything that goes out, every detail. But I did see on social media people wondering, did we get a leak of the first game screen? No, I think you just got a placeholder.
Yeah, for sure. It's definitely a placeholder. I have no doubt about that. And probably, you know, somebody in marketing approved that 6 months ago and then forgot all about it. So it's like you said, it's the old logo. So it's one of those that, you know,
No harm, no foul.
Microsoft has it. They're ready to push it. So they did. But at the same time, EA may have forgotten all about that it was in there or something. So.
And I don't think EA would, they wouldn't let that slip like this. There's other ways they might let news slip, but I don't think they'd let anything big slip on a basically a placeholder screen for a download. It was
Yeah.
interesting in that article. EA Senior Vice President and Tiburon GM Darryl Holt said he had played a full game on Tuesday. He said it's got a unique feel, lots of polishing to go, but the game is still on schedule for its release, which we don't know the date yet. We presume July, but we don't know that right now. I thought it was interesting because we've in the past have played games early, and sometimes you can't play a full game when you're 5 months out from release. It'd be a lot of crashes or bugs, but it sounds like he played a full game, which I think is encouraging. Of course, you never know
Yeah.
what gets added next week might cause some issues or crashes, and then it goes back to being solid after that. But I think it's encouraging that, you know, he mentions a unique feel. And like we mentioned on the previous screen, 132 ways to play. This game really to me feels like it's got a lot of NCAA 14 vibes. And I mean that in a good way, in terms of that game considered one of the better ones in the franchise. And I feel like they're trying to get that here in year one.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, you got to kind of buy into what NCAA 14, what we've had for the past 10 years. That's what we know of the game, you know, at this point. So you got to kind of at least know you don't want it to be a carbon copy of 14, but at the same time, you at least kind of lean into what that game was, what everybody loved about that game, you know, all of the features that made that game what it was. You kind of at least have to get as close to that as possible, because otherwise, people are going to say, why am I going to buy the $70 game when this 10-year-old game has more features or something like that, you know?
As we wrap up the show, let's do some community feedback. We've had a lot of great feedback on Twitter over the last few days, especially with all that massive news drop on Thursday. Taylor Malone wondered, at minimum, there has to be a promotional relationship, right? I'm leading towards more. This was Co Fox College Football on Friday. They put out an article, or excuse me, they put out a graphic mentioning the 5,000 plus athletes, saying, "Sheesh, we see you, hashtag CFB25." I responded to him. I said, "I don't know we can necessarily take it that way. I think all these sites have realized that mentioning the game is just massive traffic. It's easy. I'm not going to rule Fox out. I don't know that for a fact. But I think at least this, I think, was just we know it gets traffic, so we're going to mention it."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they can't bury their head in the sand and act like the game doesn't exist just because they're not in it. It'd be like some other recruiting site that's not in the game doesn't even discuss it or whatever, you know. So at the end of the day, this doesn't lead any credence to anything. Yeah, they may still be in the game. I'd be very surprised, but this is a slow period in college football. So I mean, why not put something out that draws a few clicks?
That's something that, as fans, we got to be real careful. There's going to be a lot of clickbait stuff over the next few months because there's not much to talk about in recruiting or in college football until spring football starts. Then it might die down. But then after spring football fades away, I think we're going to get another spike of clickbait. Chris Overland, this was talking about the contractor. We shared the article from Christy Dosh talking about the contract, which included the ability for slogans, logos, actions, gestures, movements, and celebrations. He said, "See, now I get why some people are mildly upset about the $600 just for a face and a name. Sure, $600 is easy, but these players are signing their brand away too, or signing away their brand too." We kind of talked about that with the show. I think that's, go ahead, Tommy. I'll let you handle
I was
this
gonna
one.
say, I think somebody who has a quote unquote brand, they're gonna be one of the athletes that EA is gonna pay a little extra for. And maybe it is an agreement that, hey, in order for us to show your logo, we're gonna give you an extra $10,000 or whatever it is. You know, who knows what it actually amounts to. But you know, the players that have a brand, have a logo, they're probably gonna be getting these in extra incentive contracts.
Right, especially if it's the 4 to 5 di digits, like she had mentioned. I mean, that's pretty good money. You get it in thousands or tens of thousands of dollars, and you got the cover athlete, I would assume, is probably going to get closer to 6 figures. So I mean,
Oh,
that
yeah.
there's still big money to be had out there for these guys. And I know all these sites mentioned the $600 and a copy of the game. I think there's going to be a significant more. They're going to get more than that. Again, as we mentioned earlier, I was on with Oney Kuno last night. Great show talking about EA Sports College Bowl 25 and what people are looking for in the game. After Reese's mentioned that the Senior Bowl will be in some form or fashion in EA Sports College Football and Madden NFL, Sy Hart responded with, "I do remember the East-West Shrine Bowl at Inscape Football 2000. It'll be a fun addition if the Senior Bowl and its rules show up after the national championship game." I think there's a lot of potential with it. I just don't understand or know yet how it's going to work between the two titles.
For sure, yeah. To me, I think if nothing else, it's just kind of a mention, but you get to play it in college and then transfer your player to Madden or something like that.
And I wonder if you don't get the college game, maybe if you play Madden, then maybe you start with the Senior Bowl. So maybe
Yeah,
it's in both that way.
that makes sense.
Scott Shiflett, what about Online Dynasty? They just said regular Dynasty. Any specs on Online Dynasty? That's a good question. Have not heard those two magical words yet starting together, at least not officially from EA. I think that's one of those that they're probably going to wait closer to that big May release. And I don't think the May release is going to be one day. I think when they say full reveal in May, I think they're talking about over a period of weeks. We did respond to him and say, as of now, we don't know. We assume it'll be in, but not confirmed. And he responded with, "Yeah, I'm concerned because just Dynasty, no Online Dynasty has been said. That's a legit deal breaker for me." I think he and a lot of the people are the same way. A lot of people who had those big ODs back in 14 are going to want to get the band back together. But if there's no stage for them to go on, EA is going to be leaving, hundreds of dollars on the table between a console purchase and game purchase.
I can't imagine delaying the game for 2 years and then not having Online Dynasty. You know, to me at that point, or I guess they only delayed it for a year, so to speak, but at that point, you pretty much have to have Online Dynasty, in my opinion.
I would be shocked if it was not.
Yes.
I did mention with Sean when we talked on Thursday night, and tell me if I'm wrong here. NC football, you think about it from 7 to 14, we had, 7 plus years of product, and then a couple years before development. So you got to think you had a decade basically of the game in some form of development on those consoles. This game, we have not got to one product yet. It's been development for 2 or 3. Think how many years it took to get from 7 to 14 with those features. Is it realistic to expect everything from 14 to be in EA Sports College Football? I don't want to say a bad feeling, but there's going to be something. I have a feeling something that we generally lean towards being in will not be in. I think like Team Builder is probably a big, an obvious one, maybe not in year one. I just got a bad feeling something else will not be in there. But like I said, there's nothing to base that on. It's just knowing that they've had a relatively short amount of time to do all this, and they've had a lot to tackle in one year.
Yeah, for sure. And on another hand, yeah, it's a lot of work, but then as well, save some features for the next year kind of thing. If you
Right.
release it all in the first year, now you have to try to top it the next year. What are you going to do kind of thing? So I'm not saying that EA's thinking that way, but at the same time, at the back of their mind, if there's a feature that's about to get cut, they can say, oh, well, it'll be in next year kind of thing. So yeah, I mean, it is interesting. One thing you mentioned that earlier that I wanted to touch on is, we keep hearing the full releases or the full details coming in May. That's not to say that they can't start mentioning different features between now and then that, hey, Online
Right.
Dynasty is here. See the full reveal on May 7th or whatever it is,
Right.
that kind of thing. We'll still probably hear EA communicating throughout the season. I mean, or excuse me, throughout the spring. Obviously, we didn't know exactly that they were going to, how they were going to do all this, and this kind of came out of nowhere. So I'm sure
Right.
there's going to be another dump that catches everybody's attention, in a month from now or something.
Right. One of the final things we'll get to are Matt at Garwin7 says, since the last iteration of the game conferences weren't 20 plus teams big, how big are custom conferences going to be allowed to get? That's a good question. If I remember correctly, on 14, some of it was a technical limitation between that plus real life. There was no reason to have these massive conferences. Whereas now it looks like you said earlier in the show, we are headed that way, head first to super conferences and maybe even bigger than super conferences. I don't know how big it'll be. And we, for technically, we don't know if the feature will be in the game. We hope it will be. We think it will be. But until EA says it, we can't write it down in pen yet.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, it is something that they have to do it the right way. It's a matter, though, of if they have partnerships with these conferences, are the conferences going to allow them to remove them from their season or whatever? I mean, granted, at the end of the day, it's not going to be a huge impact to those school or to those conferences unless they start seeing that everybody is closing out their conference. Like everybody obviously
Right.
shuts down the Pac 2 early on, and so on and so forth. So, but at the same time, it could give college football fans an idea of what the future would hold if they're able to create a 32-team conference or two of them, and then everybody else is just looking for breadcrumbs kind of thing, then it kind of highlights what the future is probably going to hold as well.
But with that, we're going to wrap up this edition of the DMing Tailgate podcast. If you like the show, please give us a like, give us a 5-star review, leave a comment, tell your friends, subscribe, do whatever it takes on the platform you're listening or watching to us on. For Tommy, I am CDJ. JB, hopefully, will be back next episode. This has been the latest edition of the Gaming Tailgate podcast.